This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right, welcome to the Underground, everybody. Cool. So I have my partner up here, Glenna. She's been doing a great job with me. Really, really thankful. I love the way my wife studies the Bible. It's real simple. She just reads until she doesn't understand something, and then she studies it. You know, it's pretty cool. She'll start reading, and she'll go, I have a question. And then she'll start looking into it, and I just love that. But anyway, tonight we really, really want to concentrate on what we're going to say here tonight. We prayed so much over this tonight that the light bulbs would come on, because this can be a little tricky. It's real simple, but with the things of God and the things, spiritual things, it's simple, but it's not easy. You know, it's that kind of thing. So we're going to just bring this to the table here, kind of see what happens. We all struggle at times with a negative self-image, the way we see ourselves. And we can see ourselves in a pretty ugly way. And in fact, psychology across the board, they all agree that the way you see yourself, I mean really the way you see yourself, determines so many things about how you think, how you feel, and how you act. In fact, our thoughts and feelings are like almost joined completely together. You know, that's how close they are. So when a person sees themselves in a negative light, this is something that really has to be addressed, especially when a person has addictions and habits that overtake them. This can be tough. And I know for me, most of my life, I was a very heavy drug user, just constantly overtaken by some kind of habit that caused me a lot of shame, a lot of shame. I believe that the answer to addictions that are fueled by shame, and shame is a form of energy. It's a fuel, you know, but it's a real negative fuel. My wife and I both believe that the answer to that kind of shame and addictions is unconditional love, is when we actually allow ourselves to be undressed in the presence of love, and we find ourselves embraced by real, true, unconditional love. We actually can heal from things we've been running from for a long time. And so Paul struggles with a negative self-image in Romans chapter 7, love, 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 Romans 7, as sin in his life was exposed and he began to see himself in a very negative light. And again, what we're bringing tonight is the beginning of a battle of how to face down addictions that just completely engulf us and overwhelm us to where we are seeing ourselves as that very thing, as that behavior. How do you win? You know, how do you overcome these kinds of things? And we're going to address that tonight. The very beginning of it starts right here.
I understand that Paul begins Romans 7:14 by stating that there isn't anything wrong with God's standard or what God desires for his life to be. But Paul says, the trouble is with me, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. That's the Apostle Paul speaking. The trouble is with me, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. So the great Apostle Paul just called himself a slave to sin. So he is not seeing himself as a brand new person in Christ or as one with Christ. He is not seeing himself as being filled with the Spirit. He is not seeing himself as being dead to sin and alive to God. He is seeing himself more as being dead to God and alive to sin. And, you know, we are used to making identity statements about ourselves and about others based on behavior. Mm-hmm. Based on behavior. We make identity statements about ourselves and others. For instance, if a person steals, we call them a thief, don't we? If a person kills someone else, we call them a murderer. If someone is addicted to drugs, we call them a drug addict, don't we? A drug addict. If any of these people want to experience lasting change in their lives, they have to come to a place where they quit seeing themselves as those behaviors. They quit identifying themselves as those things. For example, if Stan here were to go to a professional counselor and have an assessment done, I'm telling you right now that based on his past, based on his history, based on the things that he struggles with every day, they would without a doubt say that Stan Bourne is a drug addict.
Yeah.
But good news is that based on the Word of God, Stan is not a drug addict. God has made Stan a brand new person in Christ. Thank you, Lord. God has made Stan a royal son of God. Thank you, Lord. But we are trained to make identity statements based on behavior.
Yep.
It's part of our culture. I'm glad that God does not see us as our behavior tonight. He sees us as his sons and daughters. Aren't you thankful? One of the most important things that I've learned as I'm walking out this Christian life, and I love being a Christian. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. But I've learned to be very, very careful when I make identity statements. It can even be something very simple, like if I'm at the bank and I can't remember my account number. I've done that before. Or I can't remember my own phone number. And I'm like, ah, I'm such an idiot. That's an identity statement. Yep. I'm an idiot. Or if I knock something over and spill something and make a big mess or drop something and break it, I'm such a klutz. That's an identity statement. And even if I'm speaking to myself, when I say those words out loud, I hear those words. If I say them to someone else, they hear those words. And spoken words are very powerful. And we need to be very careful when we make identity statements that they line up with the Word of God and what God says about us. What He says about us is true. And we need to make sure that we agree with God.
That's awesome. I guess I'm verse 15. So that was verse 14. Let's check out 15 here. So he just called himself a slave to sin. And then Paul says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. That's verse 15. Says he doesn't understand himself. Paul is saying he's confused about his own behavior. You know, you ever been there? You know, why do I keep doing this? You know, why do I keep going back to the same place, doing these same things, even when I know better? You know, I've studied, you know, the brain chemistry, how it all works, you know, where it all leads. I know all this stuff, but I keep doing it. And I have been shocked time and time again at the risk I'm willing to take to do those things over and over again. I've been arrested for doing things over and over again that I know are going to lead to death. And being arrested is a form of death, to social death. I've lost really good jobs. I mean, really good jobs because of my addictions. I know better. Why do I keep doing this? And Paul's saying the same thing. I don't understand myself. Divorce, that's a big one. I've lost so many relationships over my addictions. Tough stuff. Paul's making a statement here of a loss of control. And so I'm so thankful for this passage, this whole thing where we get to see Paul work out this problem under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We get to see this whole thing work out. It's really, really cool. So because of this behavior, Paul makes an identity statement of that he's a slave to sin. This is what it is. Like his source of his identity statement, and this is where we all go wrong here. He's saying, what I do, what I do, his behavior. And that's the wrong end of the whole thing. What I'm doing, that's the wrong place to make my identity statement. And where I'm going to look for evidence of who I am. And Jesus really understood this in such a beautiful way where he told people, he said, you know, make the tree good and its fruit will be good. I mean, just that simple, he said it. And I'm so thankful that, you know, I had burns all over my hands and all over my face from crack pipes. And my brother was trying to get me out of this super cheap motel room, and I'm all in the corner not wanting him to see my face, and I'm ashamed. People wondering where I'm at, and I'm feeling weird. I'm acting weird. Everything looks weird. I feel like a cockroach, you know, and just all creepy, you know. And my brother's this presence where I just felt covered with shame. And God comes to me in that state. And he comes to anybody in that state. And he goes right by that ugly, horrible behavior. Walked right by it.
That's right.
Walked right by my wounded soul. You know, all those crazy thoughts. All those crazy decisions and wild, out-of-control emotions. He walked right by it like it's not there. And he goes right to the deepest part of Stan. That's what he did for me. And right there gave me a brand new identity. He says, we're going to start right here at the very center of who you are. And then I'm going to begin to just release my presence. I'm just going to begin to release my nature. You know, just plants this seed that's so powerful that changes everything about my DNA, about everything about the way I'm thinking. All of a sudden, these different thoughts, different desires start coming. What is this thing? It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom. He's so humble. He's in there. And he just begins to release a new identity, a new way of thinking and feeling, all of it. And I'm so thankful that this is the way he works.
Romans 7:16. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So again, what Paul is saying here is that there's nothing wrong with God's glorious standard, or what we call God's law, or his right desire for our life. Let me read the verse again. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Now, if you didn't notice, Paul made a very subtle shift in that verse, but it's a very important shift. Remember, he began this chapter by making an identity statement, declaring that who he was a slave to sin. But now he is recognizing that there is a deep within him, there's a part of him that doesn't want to behave the way he is in sin. Doesn't want to. And I get this too, that when I set out to live a supernatural life, I run right smack into a raging conflict.
Yeah.
Every time I go to be Christ to someone, to love someone, to help somebody that's in need, there's a part of me that rises up and tries to sabotage my good intentions, even just to influence them. If I'm doing really good, then pride wants to come in and take over and say, wow, you're really something, aren't you? You're really doing well. Everyone must really think highly of you. And if I'm not doing so well, then self-condemnation wants to come in and take over and tell me that, you know, you're the same old person you always were. You're no different than you ever were. That's just what we deal with. That's what I deal with. Yeah. Do you guys ever go through that? I have all kinds of stories. I'll go home and tell Stan, like, this was really weird today. I was going about my business just helping someone. Like, I love to help people. I was helping someone move one time. And the whole back of my truck was full of furniture and all this kind of stuff. And I was taking this stuff across town.
Yeah.
And I love to do that. I do that all the time. And all of a sudden, I see someone's car parked alongside the road. It was at Alaska Land. And so I knew that they were right there close. And this weird thought came through my mind, like, I hope those people see me driving by here with all this furniture, because they'll know that I'm obviously helping someone, and they'll think I'm pretty, you know, that's pretty nice of me. You know, I'm like, what is this? This is stupid. You know, that's not me. Stuff like that happens to me all the time, you know. And so that's what we're talking about here.
That's wonderful. All right, here's the real game changer. Here's where it gets weird, okay? Here's where everything shifts. This is it. You guys hang on, because this is where I can't believe how many times I've read this passage, and I didn't really hear what he's saying. But this is really, really something. This is where everything changes in this whole outlook on what's going on. And if you do an inventory work, if step four is where you're at, or you like doing the 12 steps, This is part of a very important inventory. But Paul's doing this work here, and this is the Holy Spirit and the way he does this. So check this out. He's looking in, and here we go. Verse 17 says, you guys ready for this? So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. Like that? He goes on to say, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. Whoa. I don't know about you guys. But I imagine, you know, me saying that to Glenna, you know. Let me put this on the board here, because this is the only way I can understand this, is to take a nice look at it here, this incredible diagram that we have. This is our physical body, if you can see this, okay? It's kind of a round body. It's an Alaskan body, you know, because we don't get out to move around, right? And I don't think we have a weight problem, you know. There's not a weight problem. I don't think we have a weight problem until every one of us are constantly touching, you know. Then it's going to be like, all right, someone has to lose some weight. So this is our body. And inside our bodies, we have a person that lives there. And we're going to put that as this triangle. Okay, that's a person that's living in this body. And you have different bodies, nationalities represented in this physical body. It's funny, my mom was here last summer, and how people look at our bodies and our, like, our nationalities as our identities in ways, you know? It's just kind of different. And everyone was coming up to my mom like, oh, you're Japanese? I know a Japanese lady, you know, lives around the corner. You guys should meet, you know? And they're talking, and I'm like, you know, where do we do that with anything else, you know? Oh, you have a very large nose. I know a guy out in Farmer's Loop. He's got a really big nose. You guys should meet each other. Talk. So we have a person living in this body, and we have negatives in our personality. You know, some of us have more negatives than others. And we also have positives. And this is where, like, our inventory work, we see a lot of this stuff. Just like that, okay? And then we have a spiritual awakening. We have an encounter where we invite God to come live within us. Invite his presence in. His Holy Spirit actually comes and dwells within us. Unbelievable. But we'll put that as this little red triangle here. The very presence of God coming to live in us, giving us a new identity. This is called the inner man in Scripture, or the inward man. This isn't the only place it's talked about. Galatians 5:16. Could you read that here? In light of this diagram, just kind of take a peek at it if you guys can see it. Hopefully you guys can all see it. Can you see it over there?
Galatians 5:16-17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves.
And let me just explain this. When I had this experience, God's presence came to live in me. And I was made new. No doubt. I was made new. There was a peace that came into my life, and it was awesome. But there's a problem. All my old ways of thinking were still with me. All my memories, all my old coping mechanisms, my habits, all these triggers, they're still there. You know, I'm still living in this body with the same brain, with all that stuff still there. But I do have this. I have a brand new identity, and I'm still surrounded, though, by all this old stuff that's still there.
The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants.
Yep.
And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite, yep, of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions.
That's awesome. So this represents our old ways. This is our new ways. This is our new family of origin. I have a new history. All the patriarchs, Jesus, all of them, they're now my new family of origin. This is my new history. This is my old history here. Where do you think God's going to speak to me in this place? He's not going to speak to the old me. He's going to speak to the new me. He's going to speak to me through that spirit man, who I really am. When he speaks to me, he's speaking to that new identity, saying, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. And when I start acting in these old ways, this thing is like, it starts to, like a beacon, it starts to blink, like, this is who you are. Okay? This isn't who you are, and you're believing something here, and it gets your attention. You know, and there's a conflict between these two. So all the nature of God is living in this new identity, and this little seed is the nature of God. Unbelievable. That's amazing. So you become a giver because God is a giver. You become a lover because God is a lover. And I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with whether you're actually giving. I'm talking about because he's living in you, who you really are by nature is a giver and is a lover. Whether you're doing it or not, that's different. But you are this brand new person that he has created that is one with Christ. It's so important to know that. So read that passage that I just read, that back and forth, what I do. And you guys just check out the two eyes. The two eyes that he's struggling with. So go ahead and we'll try to do this.
Romans 7:17-20. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature.
Right.
I want to do what is right.
This guy wants to do what's right.
But I can't.
But this guy can't. Okay.
I want to do what is good.
Right.
But I don't.
But I don't. See the two eyes, the struggle?
I don't want to do what is wrong.
He doesn't want to do what's wrong.
But I do it anyway.
This guy does it anyway.
But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it.
That's incredible. All right, so this is not an excuse. He's trying to see what's going on within himself, to understand what in the world is happening to me. I went through this so desperately when I first became a Christian, and I didn't understand the struggle and the conflict I was having and what on earth this was about. And what this guy's doing is he's going to grow as I believe and trust in this new nature. This thing's going to grow. And it's going to grow, and it's going to grow as he causes it to grow, and as I begin to overcome, and as I begin to conquer. This is like Israel conquering the land, taking over the whole place, you know, as he begins to expand. So, and this is an excuse, because let's say that I'm driving down the road, and you know, the cops are behind me, and there's a big car chase. If it was me, you know, I'd be doing all kind of cool stuff, looking cool too, you know, at the same time. Someone else would be scared, but not me. I'd be fearless, right? I'd be looking cool. Just kidding. But let's say he pulls me over and I say, hey, officer, it wasn't me doing what's wrong. It's sin living in me, right? And the cop would say to me, you know, I understand Romans 7. I've been through the underground teaching. I get it. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to arrest the real you. I'm just going to arrest your simple nature. And so that's why it's not an excuse, because who he really is living right smack in the middle of all this warfare and all this chaos and all these old habits and behaviors and all this stuff. This is scary stuff, trying to work this out. And this reminds me of a military guy who told me he was in Vietnam, and one of the guys that taught me this stuff. And he said that he remembers being in the middle of the forest or in the middle of the jungle, and they're completely surrounded by the enemy, just like this, totally, and you're terrified. And so you call in an airstrike, you know, we're buried, we're in trouble, we need help, we need an airstrike. And he said the most important question that they're going to ask is the same most important question right here and now that Paul faces. Is what is your exact position? Because when it comes raining down, they don't want to hit you. They want to hit the enemy. And so many of the things that come into our lives is God raining down on that sinful nature. God raining down on that flesh. God raining down on us because it's an enemy. He won't touch you. He won't touch the real you. He won't. He'll never harm that new person you are, ever. And sometimes it rains down on me so hard. And I'm like, you're hitting me, you know. You know, that's not the surrounding thing. Now that's me you're hitting. Ah, you know, you're hurting me. He's like, no, I'm not hurting you. I'm raining down on that nasty flesh of yours. And I'm after it, and I'm not going to stop being after it. He's at war, and so are we. And this position here that we are in, when Paul realizes this picture, it caused him to cry out, what a wretched man I am. Who on earth is going to save me? You know, look at the position we're in. I can't do it. I'm surrounded by this enemy.
Well, this is kind of the same picture, really. As if, say, I have cancer. All right, well, I'm not cancer. I'm a person who has cancer. Or if you were driving your car down the road, you're not your car. You're the person driving the car. Well, unless you, like, happen to live in L.A. or something, then you are what you drive.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's pretty true.
But where we are headed in these future sessions here at the Underground.
Yep.
Is how to walk this out, how to live this out. Once you know who you are, how to walk it out. And so I'm kind of jumping ahead with what I'm going to say, but it just fits so perfect here.
Yeah.
I'm going to share this, that I remember the first time that I ever went to Florida with Stan and how amazed I was at their incredibly beautiful, perfect lawns that they have down there. I'm used to Alaskan yards. So I was blown away. The blades of grass in his mom's yard, in her lawn, are so strong and big, and it's just, and they're so green. Everything is so green. Bye. But I learned when I talked to the people that live there that these lawns are kept in this condition with chemicals. And what the chemicals produced was just amazing. And you would think that with all of that fertilizer and nutrition going into the ground, that the weeds would also be twice as big. But I learned that they set the atmosphere of their lawns to where the chemical combination that they put on the lawn was so potent that it was actually toxic to the weeds, but very good for the grass. And that's what we have here. We want to set the atmosphere of our lifestyle and our thinking and our beliefs to where it's actually toxic to the flesh, toxic to the sinful nature, but really, really good for our spirit, which is, by the way, who we really are.
That's wonderful. So he goes on to talk about the principle and settle it, basically saying, so it's like a law of gravity. Wherever I go, this other stuff's with me. And he has to just kind of realize that this is the situation. And so we are in a place now where we begin to overcome, as sons, all the stuff that we learned and gathered when we were not sons, or when we didn't realize that we were sons and daughters.
Romans 8:1 says, so now there is no condemnation.
Yes.
To those who belong to Christ Jesus. A few years ago, I used to help teach a kids' class, and I had to make these cards one day for these kids for their scripture memorization. And the verse that I was supposed to write on these cards was Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. And it all started out just fine. I was doing good. Until I had written those words on about the 25th card, and it started to hit me. So now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, I just burst into tears as I was writing these cards. The reality of what I was writing over and over and over and over and over just hit me like a freight train. So now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. And I just melted like a little puddle in the middle of my living room. I'm so thankful tonight that we can live a life free, free from condemnation.
So as I was telling them at that Lutheran church, the Celebrate group, I told them about the place I reached where I said, what a wretched man I am. Of when I had lived such a life, a double life, a lying life, a life full of lies, to where, you know, my wife had found out about all my addictions at the worst possible time, when she was just weeks away from dying of cancer. And it was the most horrible thing, but our worst moment can turn out to be our best, the best thing for me. And as I was unmasked as this addict that had been lying for, you know, 8 years, and she took her last breath, I was not even allowed anywhere near the place or even know where she was. That's the kind of addict I was and the kind of person I was, the way I lived. All the lies I'd spread all caught up with me at the same time. And so in that holy moment, that time when you'd to be there, I was not there and wasn't even wanted. And I missed out on what it means to be a priest over our home and walk this family through this dark time. And when I knew there was nothing I could do about it and all had happened, it was over, I cried out, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to save me from this life of sin and death? This death that I keep bringing into my life and other people's lives. You know, what we believe about our identity and who we are cannot be based on our behavior and what we're doing right now. It starts in the deepest place. He'll start so deep you won't even know and understand at all what he's up to. But he's up to something so powerful and so awesome. It is very good news. It's very good news. And so a belief is basically a conclusion that we've come to about a matter. And he brought me to the place where I had a choice, just like Paul. Is you got this new nature living in you that wants to do what is right, that wants to serve God, to love people, to be honest, to be supernatural in my ways, but I have this other thing. Like, he's pulling me back to the same old garbage and all these selfish ways, indulgence and lies and all this stuff. And God's telling me that this is who I really am. I'm a brand new person in Christ. You need to make a decision of what you're going to believe, because someone's not telling the truth. And I'm here to tell you right now, based on God's decree over this town, over this community, over his world, I just open the scroll up right now, that he has decreed for you that you are a brand new person in Christ. You are a new person. You're a new creation. You have a new identity with the very nature of God. And he is going to be you, and you're going to be him in such a unique way that only you and him can work that out, what that's going to look like. And so in the future sessions here, we're coming up to you, as this little red triangle begins to grow, it's going to run into some of these negatives, and it's going to be war, and how he overtakes these negatives. His strategy of how we win, how we do this, how we heal from wounds and abuse and trauma. We're gonna look at all this stuff. But the first step to overcoming any kind of life-controlling issue, when we're totally drowning in addiction, the first step is you're not your behavior. You're who God says you are. You're a brand new person. You have a new identity, and that's a fact. And the second thing you have to know is you're not condemned. You're not under condemnation in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your battle, winning and losing. You're not condemned. And you know what that does? That makes us very dangerous people, because we can come out swinging. I'm not condemned, right? I'm not this guy. I'm this guy. Look out. Here I come. And you'll be standing in the place as you follow him and his spirit rises up in us, where that day comes when you're like, how do you like me now? That new person's coming out. And nothing can stop it. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the new identity, and its power is undeniable. It's undeniable. You have made us new. You're making us you. You've done it all. You set us free. May we all see it and get a vision of who we are in the Spirit. And may we all come out swinging with great joy and great triumph. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was raised in a very, very religious home, but it wasn't a good religious home. It was not good at all, but it was very religious. And the way that we were raised to, that we had to live and do and be and all these things, if we wanted to be a Christian and be accepted by God, I knew it didn't make sense, because it didn't line up with, you know, our home life and just so many things. But I remember when I was a teenager, I don't remember how old I was for sure, but I remember the day that I just flat gave up. I'm like, I can't do it. There's just no way. It's impossible. And I wanted to, but I couldn't. And so I just went the other direction for many years. And the stuff that Stan teaches here, it was the first good news I'd ever heard in my life, even though I was raised in church. And as he and I studied this stuff and realized that this stuff is awesome, there was just something in me that just was like, yes, this is the real truth that I've been waiting all my life for. And it actually changed our lives. And guess what? We can do this, because it's what God did for us that we could never do for ourselves. And it's like we were talking tonight. It's not based on our behavior. It's all God. It's all about him. And it's just, it's awesome. So anyway, let's sing Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me.
Simple things, and that's simple. Thank you guys for coming out. I love you all. Have a good week.